VHX assisting.
On the way home, W2T.
Nope.
Your orders on what to bring home for supper, right?
No, actually, she's in the store. Over in Ingles over there on 290.
And all your money.
Well, it's supposed to work, isn't it? I make it, she spends it. That's, you know, that's the way I learned it.
Yeah, I guess I remember that. It's been a while since I've had to think about that. And, you know, a year or two since I had that situation.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah, but, yeah, that's okay. Hey, she's buying food for us. So, that's okay.
Which means she's going to feed you supper tonight.
Yes.
I mean, last time I saw you, you looked like you were wasting away there, my friend.
I guess, you know, my brain could be wasting away, not just my body.
Yeah, I could be getting both. Anyway. All right. Well, I finally got back to what I was doing on the internet, or on loading some data up to one of my programs, and it finally finished. So, you know, things are going a little better now.
Good deal. Good deal. I'm glad for that. Man, why are people driving so slow today? My goodness.
Ugh.
I'm going to have to duck off and go down the side road. Probably make better time.
Well, because they're getting ready for that pouring rain tomorrow when they can fly down the road when it's slick as glass.
It's something like that. No, it's just the last 2 days. Maybe I just hit the time, you know. But this morning it was crazy amount of traffic going down 29 down to Rutherford Road.
Yep, I'm sure there was. I'm sure there was. Well, just thought I'd say hello, and we will talk to you later, and I'll be safe the rest of the way home. KB2HXS, W2T. Let me go get what I need to do in the rest of the house done, you know?
About time he slowed down in your old yard.
Uh-oh. All right, Rusty. Rusty, have a good day. W2T, KB2HXS. Hello, Tom.
And there went the neighborhood, W2T.
Oh, I just climbed the stairs. I'm out of breath. Hi, Dave. Hope you're having a good day. I can't say the same for Rusty, but I guess I can. after he said that. Oh, we've been out fertilizing the yard, cutting back the rose bushes, blowing off the fertilizer that got on the driveway, tending the chickens, and we're both pooped.
Fertilizer and poop in the same sentence. Wow.
Listen, I was probably spreading BS when you're rusty.
Said as I came back in the room. Catch you later, W2T clear.
Later. Yeah, we're wore out. We've been out there since about 10 o'clock, I think, Dave.
And I run around like a maniac the last couple of days myself here. I'm almost home. I'm just getting ready to turn on 14 here, and I'll be at the house in less than 10 minutes.
River break today. Well, I'm tickled to death because I was having some problems that seemed to be heart-related, and I was going to have to go through a catheter, very possible, into the heart. And I think it just turns out that I just can't be out in the cooler, colder weather because it ain't bothered me one bit today. So thank the good Lord for that, anyways.
I myself, you know, if I'm out in the cold and I'm breathing real hard or doing something and moving around too much, my upper chest will start hurting a little bit. I think that's the cold air trying to get in there and dry my lungs out or something. I don't know.
On it. The first thing that I ever noticed, I hadn't been sick in years. Our plant was 15 to 20 acres at that wheel plant I worked at. And I got out of the car 7 feet and felt like I had real bad indigestion in my chest. And by the way, one of my friends just died up in Kansas that his wife was telling him, you need to get that checked because he had real bad indigestion, he thought. and it's pressure building up, and it will build up quicker right after you eat if you go out in that cold. And the heart doctor told me that. I didn't realize it, but your body's trying to break down that food, and your heart's not getting enough oxygen to you, I guess. But I'd really noticed it, and by golly, it's just gone away since it's warm out there. And I need to get my legs back in shape because I'm old. And we really had a great day.
Well, yeah, the last couple of days I've been working in the basement and putting up more insulation. I got my water heater changed out, get rid of the electric water heater, put up a natural gas tankless, got that up and functional Sunday. And then right back to work yesterday, running around, taking care of people, and just getting caught up with things around the house. And I like doing that.
Well, I never thought about natural gas tanks. I guess they could do that with propane, too, just with an orifice change. Oh, I've got a new hot water tank. It's only about 3 or 4 years old, so we're in good shape. And it's got an accumulator on top, up to code with PEX and all that. Costs an arm and a leg, of course. But that sounds good. I think the next time the first time I ever have the HVAC replaced, I'll ask for them to hook my big 265-gallon, it's a 300-gallon tank, propane tank, to where I'd have gas backup. I think that's a real good option.
Are you talking about gas backup heat?
Well, on the HVAC, they got them that when it gets down to, and I'm going to give you a rough figure because I don't really know, about 30 degrees, it switches to propane or natural gas, which is cheaper than electricity when it gets to that point, you know, because of the efficiency of the HVAC unit. And I think I might go with that if I ever have to change it, and hopefully not.
Well, basically, that would be a dual, what they call a dual fuel system. The heat pump will work down to about 45 degrees, and then I think at 40 degrees, it'll change over to gas. I don't really recommend propane, only because propane is so expensive. I'm fortunate where I have natural gas in the street, and I had a meter put on the house when we first moved in 4 years ago, so CPW came right over and put a meter in for me, and we changed over our stove. Now I got my water heater changed over, and I'm hoping to convince the wife, let me put a natural gas heater in the house, period. But we're thinking about putting a wood stove in, or a potbelly stove in large grate room. And hopefully that'll do it. Anyway, I'm pulling in the driveway, Tom. Have a good afternoon, sir. KB2HXS will be out of here on your final.
Okay, Dave. Well, I've had a lot of reports from friends that the gas is a lot warmer when it gets down there than the electric. And you know and I know that the heat pump's not too efficient down that range, but I'll keep that in mind. But I'm worried more about staying warm when you have heart disease. Anyways, take care, Dave. Nice talking to you. This is N0TR Clear.
73, Tom, and I get it. Trust me. KB2HXS, out of here.
It's firewood.
Well, we have an insert, but I can't lift over about 10 pounds. You get a chunk of good old oak or something, or locust, and it just gets out of my realm. And, you know, those fire flame logs you can buy are about, how much was those the other day, Bernice? Oh, no, it was more than that. They're pretty expensive, and you get 3 hours out of them.
KB4CBA. Yeah, I can imagine. Well, I tell you, I got gas heat, and I love it. It is just nice and warm, and I got a gas water heater, and So I'm just tickled to death with it. But anyway, all right, well, I'm going to jump out of here, too, because I'm pulling back in the garage. I'm doing some plumbing here. Out here in the garage, it's fun. But anyway, talk to you later, N0TRKP4CPA.
Well, if you need a hand, I have a license. Officially skin diver for a roto rooter, but don't call me. I'll call you, Dave. Take care. Yeah, and gas now is much safer than it was way back in my days when I had to service about 100 of those in our shop, and they were a pain. Anyways, KP4CBA N0TR73.
With all that gag stuff, your president has got his panties in a wad over that gas stuff. KI4DOS said that.
One, Gary, because he ain't my president. He's lower than you know what. How you doing, Gary? We just come in. Yeah, he's trying to stop all the exports of liquid natural gas. So that way, Germany and France and all them will be more reliant now on Russia. Now, that makes a lot of sense, don't it?
it's amazing. I had the computer on the other night. Said that I can't remember which state it was up north. You know how them Yankees are. They're selling off all their natural gas reserve. So they won't have any reserve left. I said, you know, what are the people up there that depend on that? What are they going to do, you know, if something happens and the refineries aren't able to produce any and they don't have anything in reserve? That just doesn't make sense to me.
I think that made sense, Gary. It would be out of character, and I think that's both parties probably. But at any rate, I remember I played in the Carthage band, and I'd have to drive from Pittsburgh, which was about 35 miles, and off on the left side down there was a huge gas facility. And I don't know if that was propane or natural gas. Well, I don't know if it comes from the same or what, but I've worked on a lot of propane stuff too, Gary. I had to run a propane generating system at our machine shop for 32 years, and it was a 30,000-gallon tank that was almost a block long. It was big. You had to climb a ladder to get up on top of it, Gary. And they had two 70-gallon-an-hour propane generators. And I would mix into this huge pipe going over to the plant an air-gas ratio with a carburetor set up, similar to natural gas, whenever the gas company would cut us off. Back then, you could use so much and there was a shortage. Then they'd just shut the plant down. So I would go over to the mixing station and mix that in, and it was an air-gas ratio from propane that was similar to natural gas. That way I didn't have to go in and change the orifices on about, 60, 70 heaters just there on one side. And you could just switch over to it with this big Maxon valve and then carburete it. And it worked like a champ. Got us by.
And it, you were able to do that. I'm glad that you were, and keep things going there at the plant. But, you know, it just doesn't make sense to me with them, everybody down on the, I know we're running out of natural resources. Don't get me wrong. I understand that part. But, the way they're targeting household appliances, you know, like furnaces and stoves and hot water tanks and that sort of thing. I think they've lost their minds.
This is N0TR. Well, Gary, you heard that song, that country western song that Johnny Cash sang about Oney, the boss? Well, we had one superintendent for just a few years. That was Oney. Now, I don't know if he was assistant super at that time or super. But he'd sneak around and watch guys and jump on them. So one day, there was about a foot of snow, and I had to walk through the back end of the foundry to get over to the generating system for the propane. And I went out, and the snow hadn't been shoveled very much then at the time. You could see footprints. And And so it was about, oh, almost a block over there. So I go over there, and there was three of those 70-gallon an hour, now that I think of it. And they looked like scuba tanks, and then they just use a gas flame under them, kind of like the old hot water heaters, you know. And there's two scuba tanks in each one of them, and they can vaporize 70 gallons an hour because when it's cold like that, propane can't generate enough for a plant like that. So they force it by heating it. So anyways, I goes over there, and I know Oney was behind me, or I don't know if I did or not at the time. But anyways, I waded up through the snow, and one of those gas generators was not on. Now these, and I think you probably know what 100% pilot is. These had, I think, I don't know if there's power piles or thermocouples, same difference in a way. One generates more than the other. And a regular thermocouple's about 30 milliamps, and a power pile's just a series of them, about 750. So I squatched down and opened a little portal in there, and I stuck a match in there, or whatever I had, a cigarette lighter, I don't remember. I didn't smoke, so I know what it was a propane torch, I think. And I was squatted down, and that thing goes boom, and the concussion blowed me backwards. It didn't burn me or anything like that, and I fell back on my butt, right on my back, and I was laughing. Anyways, I got her lit up, and it went off, and propane goes down, so it had accumulated. So as I walked back in, these guys back there grinding in the back of the foundry, they come up, and they said, Tom, do you know Ed Emerson was there, and he's passed away now, rest his soul. And he said, you know Ed was following you out there checking on you? And I said, no, guess I didn't. And I got to looking, and there was a set of tracks. And he said, when that explosion went off, he said, I've never seen an old man move that fast in my life.
Gosh. Well, I'm glad you didn't get hurt any worse than you did. That could be a terrible situation. And, yes, I did know that the propane is heavier, and it'll go to the ground. A lot of people don't realize that. But we had propane forklifts, and my boss went out there to fill up a forklift one evening. It was late, and you know how you open the vent valve and let the air out of the tank, as you fill it up, and then it starts spewing liquid propane out. Well, he couldn't see it, and he lit a cigarette lighter. Like to set the whole place on fire, like to blow the whole place up. But he had a terrible flame coming out there for just a little bit till one of the other guys happened to see it, went over and cut the gas off. But I'm telling you what's true, it made a believer out of him real quick.
Any beryllium wrenches, and that's what you're supposed to work on that stuff with. They're non-sparking pipe wrenches and such. My buddy John, or the guy I worked with, he wasn't a buddy really, but he's crabby. And we was over one day with regular pipe wrenches, and he cracked a union. And when he did, it just went like that. And he had a red scar all the way up his arm for about a foot. Because that stuff's, 100 and some degrees below zero at 250 pounds per square inch. And it'll eat you alive. But the dangest thing I ever had to do, they called me from the foundry one day, Tom. They said, you got a gas leak over here. So I ran over behind the foundry there and ran out to the big tank expecting, a leak. Well, it looked like a cloud over that corner of that block, about 3 foot high, Gary. And one of the propane generators had a pop-off valve, and it had stuck, and it was stuck open. And the propane was coming out, and it was cold, not much of a breeze at all, and so it was just settling there on the ground. I had to wade out there through that propane with my head above it. I could breathe, but I held my breath. And tap on that pop-off valve till it closed, that needle and seat in it. That made me more nervous than a lady of the night in church.
There's KI4DOS. Well, I can see that where that would happen, Tom. We had a mechanic out there. He wasn't wrapped real tight. He drank Mountain Dews all the time. And he would go out to the propane tank and take a Mountain Dew that was hot and sit there and open the valve on that propane tank to cool his Mountain Dew down. It wouldn't take but just a few seconds, but still, he was spraying all that gas right out on the ground, and he smoked, and he would do it with a lit cigarette. I told him, I said, "You're the craziest person I know."
Well, they tell me, and I'm not an expert on it, but I did handle an awful big system there, because that pipe going over to the machine shop must have been 8 or 10 inches in diameter. But they tell me that the air-gas ratio has to be just perfect for it to explode, but I suppose that amounts to anything. But I was just afraid somebody'd come by. It was an intersection where two roads intersected right in that corner of it, right in front of that big propane tank and those generators. I was afraid somebody could come by and flip a cigarette out there. But yeah, I know what you're talking about. I had to take a little school on when I went to that wheel plant. On there was only certain ones of us that could fill those propane tanks back then. But it's a very dangerous gas to handle. It's under a lot of pressure, and it's super cold. But it sure cool off a six-pack of beer, I'm sure, pretty quick, or whatever you want to cool.
Tim used it four times than one to cool his Mountain Dews down, so I don't know. I don't believe I'd have done that, but, I don't want all that volatile gas around my feet and all of that, making a big puddle. But Tom, I've arrived back here at the house. Good talking with you this afternoon. Good hearing David in there, and I hope y'all have a great afternoon. Tell Miss Bernice we said hello, and we'll talk to you a little bit later. 73, my friend, N0TR, KI4DOS Mobile.
That's the boss, and tell Joy hi. And yeah, we've seen a lot of things in our years, Gary. I've done a lot of things. Maintenance does everything. Anyways, I always tell them it's from, they asked me what I did, and I said everything from P-traps on the urinals to digital control. And that was the truth. For a long time, I finally told them, hey, no more P-traps, or I'm going to go to another job. And they left me alone after that. Take care, Gary. KI4DOS and 0TR 73.
That was a good story I've been listening to for that, 30 minutes or so? This is W4 in Norway, Texas, Quebec, in Simpsonville right now, but originally from North Carolina.
Well, thank you, Eddie. Nice to hear you, bud. And I'm sure in 99 years you've seen a lot of things, too.
Well, I worked in a printing office in Simpsonville when I was off in wars. In the Navy and the Coast Guard, World War II in the Coast Guard or Navy ship. And in the Korean War, I was in the Navy or Navy ship, most of them destroyers. And I worked on guns and torpedoes. That was my job. But I worked for a newspaper for 59 years, and I think you've heard some of my stories. I've been running around today doing getting groceries, getting people to help me, getting folks to help me take me to the grocery store. You'll be 99 years old. I don't drive very much anymore.
The wise thing, Eddie. The biggest printing press, I took one semester of printing in high school, back when you had to set type and that, and I drove newspapers when I was 14 for about a year or so on a Cushman Eagle scooter, which you probably remember. in the headliner type machines and all that. And years later, when our plant shut down, I went to a place called Gulf States in Joplin, Missouri. And I had to drive 35 miles down there and 35 miles back, but it was a job. And the biggest one I ever worked on was a Komori, which I guess is Japanese, and it was a 7-color offset. And I think it made 8,000 or 9,000 Breyer's ice cream boxes an hour. It was just unimaginable, but it was 7-color offset, Eddie, and it was 345 feet long.
Go ahead, DQ. By the way, I've been having 75 years at least. And I understand that stuff. I've been roaming around here today getting my stuff together here, panels and games and so forth, and trying to get caught up. Also get caught up with radio, but I was never radio on the Navy or the Coast Guard. I was gunner's mate, small gunner, torpedo man, and I got my ham license between World War II and Korean War. Oh, there's somebody trying to sell me something. Shut up over here. Somebody trying to sell me something, I think, or...
Well, Eddie, when I was in the Navy, and Gary also, our planes carried homing torpedoes on them. It was a Mark something or other. I don't think it was a 46, but it was anyways. It was big, 8 or 9 foot long, I guess. And it would home in on the submarine. And the carrier plane I flew in, we also carried homing torpedoes. Flew off a carrier, and then the big one was a P-3 Orion like Gary flew in. And it could do that too, and had many, many other weapons we could carry. Thankfully, we never had to use them, but I know what you're talking about there. And I can't remember the propulsion system on most of those. I was thinking it was steam, but I just can't remember, Eddie. Or batteries, I'm not sure. But I think ours had a 2.5 mile range on them, Eddie.
You know, since you brought that particular thing about what shot it off, I thought we shot compressed air or shot them off the side there. We never did. Actually, I don't think we ever shot one that we knew had done some good. We sank a German submarine in the Cebu in New York, of all places.
They were all along the East Coast. The United States didn't shut their lights off at night back then, like it was doing in Europe, and they could look at the silhouettes of the ships coming out up there. But, yeah, you're right. Those type you're talking about, it was compressed air that put them into motion, but I don't know what propelled them once it was inside. I can't remember now. I'm getting old. But that wasn't my job anyway. But I did go to school in Jacksonville, and that was aviation electrician's mate school for about 7 months, and I had a lot of friends that were in the aviation ordnanceman. And that's where their school was at, too. Well, Eddie, the wife says she's got some grub for me over here. The pleasure's all mine, sir. And it's been nice talking to you this afternoon. I gotta get a little rest. I'm 76 years old, so I'm just a pup compared to you anyways. Take care, Eddie. This is N0CR Clip.
N0CR, W4, No Way, Texas, Quebec. Well, I'm 99 and 4 months, I believe. So I was in World War II, and I was in the Coast Guard on a Navy ship then, and then I joined the Navy Reserve, and they got called to the Korean War on a big destroyer, twin turret job. We let you go, Bill. So, but I worked with newspaper for 59 years in printing. I was in production end of newspapers. At type, you said, hot type, cold type, ended up cold type, long set. Plant, started off flatbed presses. So there you go. We'll see you. I try to call in that then every night I can. This is W4NTQ.
W4NTQ. This is Norway Zero Tango Romeo. Not Charlie Romeo, but Tango Romeo. And that's my name, Tom Rouse. So it's just call me Tom, Eddie. Anything but late for supper. 73Z, and I'll be clear. This is N0TR.
Good night, this is W4NTQ.